Tom Karkle in the AM 1400 WRJN News Center. AccuWeather forecast for today, lots of sunshine, high of about 64 degrees. Kenosha right now is partly cloudy and 43, 39 in Burlington, 45 Milwaukee, Racine partly cloudy and 44. A Western Kenosha County woman, while checking on a vacant house Tuesday, unwittingly fleshed out homicide suspect Andrew Obregon. That began a series of events which led to his capture in Winthrop Harbor, Illinois. The final moments of freedom outlined by Sheriff David Beth during a press briefing.
The woman came up to the house. They were communicating in some way, like, why are you in the house? And I'm sure what probably happened is he wanted to get her car and get out of there, and she probably wasn't going to give him the keys. So I don't know exactly how he injured her. Initially, the call came in that he had punched her in the face.
After stealing the woman's car from outside that vacant house, about a mile away from his parents' home, Obregon drove to Illinois, where Lake County Sheriff's deputies gave chase on what had been reported then as a stolen vehicle. Obregon later bailed out, began to run. That led to shots being fired, police dogs released, then Obregon taken into custody with a relatively minor gunshot wound to the arm. He's now in the Lake County Jail awaiting extradition to Kenosha as a suspect in the death of Taiwan Anderson. Obregon's mother still in the Kenosha County Jail. She awaits a preliminary hearing on charges of aiding a felon and obstructing. Susan Obregon arrested after allegedly giving her son money after the sheriff's department began to search for him, referenced the homicide of that Kenosha man. After her initial appearance in Kenosha Circuit's Incate Court, Obregon was scheduled to return to court October 16th. A motion by her attorney to reduce her $15,000 bond was denied by Kenosha Court Commissioner John Mason. A call to Racine police by an alert neighbor who spotted a man going into a home in the 700 block of Sydney Drive Tuesday morning led to the arrest of the burglary suspect. The call came just before 9:30. Officers surrounded the home, spotted the person matching the description given by the neighbor trying to leave. They made contact with the man. He ran back into the home, then refused to come out. Suspect was taken into custody after a canine was sent in. A news release indicates two officers did suffer some minor injuries, taking that man into custody. He's 21 years old, facing a number of charges. Administration discretion in the city policy on pre-employment conditions. How the Racine Finance and Personnel Committee agenda item was listed. Alderman Sandy Widener, she wanted to talk about what she said was the hiring of a worker who had failed a drug test against policy, and for which a private document appears to have been stolen from the city's human resources office. With a warning to keep specifics, including the name, out of the open setting, Alderman Widener, who had anonymously received a copy of the document, said administration ignored city policy, which in her words puts the city council in a very negative light.
Because it is our responsibility to confirm those appointments, and we confirm those appointments with the understanding that the individuals have passed all the pre-employment conditions. In this case, it did not happen.
City Attorney Scott Lenny, who also handled HR matters in recent times, pointed out that the city policy does not specify what passing a drug test means.
The results of a drug test are a part of an employee's medical file. A medical file is kept separately.
Widener confirming the employee in question is a male and in some kind of a supervisory capacity, but a name and department were not mentioned or provided. To Alderman Widener's dismay, the committee received and filed her communication while recommending she submit one more specific that would qualify for a closed session, the language to be recommended by the city attorney. Well, the Democratic presidential candidates, they had their first chance to draw firm lines on issues at last night's debate. Andrew Spencer has kind of a recap.
As for anybody wanting to be a world leader, credibility is an issue.
We need someone that has the best in ethical standards as our next president. That's how I feel.
Secretary Clinton, do you want to respond?
No.
Governor.
During the debate, Hillary Clinton had again said she had taken responsibility for the email controversy, calling it a mistake, and Senator Bernie Sanders backed her up.
Secretary is right. The American people are sick and tired of hearing about your damn emails.
Thank you. Me too.
I'm Andrew Spencer.
Well, after an hour of sometimes painstaking discussion about replacing the city's existing sidewalk assessment method for property owners, the Racine Public Works and Services Committee is unanimously recommending $355,000 in additional borrowing to the Capital Improvement Program. That was a motion that was defeated 7-5 last week by the Common Council. Public Works Commissioner Mark Yellen had to explain to Alderman Mike Shields and others that the added borrowing would go just to sidewalks, but be separate from the original CIP work proposed in the 2016 budget.
This doesn't have anything to do we're budgeting for the $114,000 that's already in the CFP for curb ramps, sidewalks abutting city property, sidewalks affecting
Okay, so that's in the
this would be this yeah. would be
okay. I just want to make sure
this would
that's
be,
what I
this would be sidewalks built in the right way that abut non-municipal property.
Okay, that's fine. The long as that's in the detail.
Alderman Dave Smetana said it's a broken system and we need to fix it, while Alderman Jim Kaplan suggested maybe a three-tiered payment system for residential, business, and public. Recommendation on sidewalk repairs in the CIP borrowing goes to the Common Council next week. In Sturtevant, the village administrator Mary Cole dipped into the fund balance to fill a gap in her proposed 2016 budget based on a discussion at last night's village board meeting in committee. More money's going to be coming out to fund some additional spending. She found out the morning of the budget presentation that state transportation aids are being cut, putting a $37,000 deficit into her spending plan. Now, last night, Trustee Chris Larson said the village is in a rather unique situation, with additional funding expected next year when the tax incremental district for Renaissance Business Park comes to a close.
The only way that we can make sure that we cover what the state has taken away from us, that we can fund the fire capital that they're asking for, and that we can do what the citizens of the village asked us to do, which is to fund a school district study in 2016, is to take it from the money that we've all worked very, very hard to save.
Last night, trustees decided to add $15,000 to the village's share on the cost of a study for breaking away from Racine Unified and capital expenses for the South Shore Fire Department. One of the new initiatives for the Racine Area Manufacturers and Commerce involves a partnership with Racine Unified in what's called Higher Expectations.
One of the biggest challenges has been in the past is to attract talent to the area and younger talent because of the school district. And I will tell you, I think there's a tremendous team in place now at the school district that really has kind of turned things around, and things are pointed in the right direction.
On WRJN's Community Conversation, RAMAC President Jim Ladwig saying one of the exciting components is going to be wall-to-wall academies in 2016. And coming October 30th, he said the Higher Expectations Initiative will have some 430 teachers into the business community as part of their development day. When members of the State Task Force on Rural Education heard from leadership of both Racine and Kenosha Unified's districts, a public hearing on the UW Parkside campus. Racine Unified Superintendent Lolly Ha said new teachers come out of college really not knowing how to teach children about reading unless it's with more instruction.
They've had an overview class in reading instruction. They've student taught and seen a teacher teach. They've had very little training in reading. And we expect them to teach reading, and they really don't know how. Districts spend millions of dollars of taxpayers' money going back and retraining teachers in their free time after school on weekends or in summers, and paying them for that training and paying for the training for what they really should have had when they got out of college.
Kenosha Unified Superintendent Sue Savaglio-Jarvis talking about students with mental health issues, how it's misunderstood and how it needs to be addressed to help the children. WRJN.com, that's our webpage. You can get our newscast in podcast form. Whatever you want, just go to the local news section. At WRJN News is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Karkle, AM 1400 WRJN News.